So we are at the bottom of page 5 on the section about God is faithful. I think we already read this in Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 through 8, about how God does things because he loves us and wants to keep his promises. But then there's another verse we did not read. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 7. And here in verse 9, and the reason it's important to read this is that God's faithful. What he says, he sticks to. People still have the idea that God may feel like blessing you one day and cursing you the next. But that's not the case. He writes in his word what he's going to do, and then he's faithful to do it. And here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. How long? To 1,000 generations. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth how far? Under the clouds. It's a long way. His faithfulness reaches all the way to the clouds. Psalm 40. Just next page over. Psalm 40. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. That word waited is a word you may have heard me talk about before. It's a favorite Hebrew word of mine called kawa, or in some books it'll read as kava with a V. But it means to wait with expectation. Means to wait with expectation, not just waiting because God's late, which he never is, but like a kid waiting for a birthday or Christmas, anticipating something neat and fun. Waiting with expectation. And it says, I waited patiently. It could also be translated intently. It's actually a figure with two forms of it. Literally, waiting, I waited. I waited intently with expectation for the Lord. Absolutely expecting him to bless me. Like that song, Expect Miracles Every Day? That's what he did. I waited patiently, intently. I waited intently for the Lord with expectation, and he heard me, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot on a rock and established my goings. So if you're in a situation that you think is really the pits, well, pray that God will bring you up out of that pit. See, the common human response is to say, boy, this is the pits. This is terrible. And then just see how negative you can get about it and try to go tell some other people how bad it is so they help feed your negativity. Whereas instead, we ought to be going to the Lord and asking him to bring us up out of the pit. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside unto lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And that's a great psalm. It just goes on and on. Look at verse 5 in your notes. I have it from the New Revised Standard Version. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with it. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. God is very faithful to bring his word to pass. Psalm 91, I think we talked about this earlier. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Doesn't matter how many else are fallen, it won't come near to us as we trust God. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Behold, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Got to be pretty good to trample a young lion under your feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 92. Boy, the section Psalm 92 I think of very frequently. Verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. What a great thing. To show forth or declare God's loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. A lot of people walk out the door in the morning to whatever it is they're doing, all grumpy that they have to go do it. And then come home all mad that they had to do it and things didn't go right. But how about walking out the door talking about God's loving kindness? Boy, this is going to be a great day. God loves me. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to expect miracles. I have no idea what's going to come up, but God's going to take care of me. And then walk back in the door at night talking about God's faithfulness. Boy, God helped me get through that, and he helped me get through that, and this thing worked out, and I had no idea this thing was going to work so well. You can go out on the same day, with the same responsibilities, the same people, the same activities, and have it either be just the best day of your life or the worst day of your life. It's all a matter of your attitude, and are you going to ask God for help? But what a great thing to walk out the door every morning talking about God's loving kindness, and come back at night talking about his faithfulness. Even if something went wrong, well, he was faithful to get me through all the others. Next time I'll pray a little harder and figure it out a little better and get through that thing better next time. What a great thing to do. Verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy thoughts and are thy works, and thy thoughts are what? Very deep. So every night we show forth God's faithfulness. Psalm 108. Actually, these next couple, let's just read them here on your notes. Yeah, we can read them in the Bible. Why not? We have Bibles. We can read them. Aren't you glad we have Bibles in English? And if you don't like one translation, go buy another. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. And they're all pretty good. Some are better than others, but they're all pretty good. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed, it's established. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth extended beyond the clouds. That word mercy is the word for steadfast or loving kindness, that word chesed, which we've had before. And when it says your loving kindness is great above, means it's higher than the heavens. Your love, your loving kindness is higher than the heavens. And thy truth, this is the word for faithfulness. Your faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Isn't that great? Look at verse 12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God shall we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 119. See, I tried to put these verses in order so you didn't have to flip too many pages. Makes it a little easier on you. Psalm 119, verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. So even though people are persecuting him wrongfully, he's asking God for help, and he knows God's commandments are faithful. Just because somebody persecutes him doesn't mean God's commandment isn't faithful. It means he just asked God to help him through that. Verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abides. It stays here. People always talk about us destroying the earth, and there may be things humans have done to the earth which have goofed it up, but it's still here. It's still here. Psalm 119, verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are what? Righteous and very faithful. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. People love to talk about companies that operate 24/7, always ready to go take care of you. Go through 16 different voicemail menus and they'll be right there to help you whenever you need them. Well, God's been at this for a long time. He's been on duty 24/7 for a long time. Nobody's ever caught him out on break or on vacation. And Dick, he doesn't even have a deputy to fill in for him. He's there the whole time. He has a few chores he asked Jesus Christ to do for him, but he's on duty all the time. Quite something, isn't it? He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's always there. Then Lamentations chapter 3. What a great record. What a great record. Because, you know, Lamentations, remember we read that record in Jeremiah 42 where they were being dragged off, you know, they were so worried about Nebuchadnezzar coming in that they went and hid in Egypt because they were so scared, even though it was against the word of the Lord. Well, it's during that period that Lamentations was written. They were lamenting, they were crying that the city had been taken captive, the temple had been destroyed, the few people that were there left in Jerusalem didn't believe the true God. At one point, they took Jeremiah the prophet and put him down in this old dry well, and he just hung out in a bunch of muck down there for a long time. It was just a really tough time. But during the midst of that, Jeremiah says what is here in Lamentations 3:22, speaking the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Even though the city had been destroyed, people had been dragged off captive, two kings of Israel had rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar and been put down, there were still people there in Jerusalem that were getting along fine. And he says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God doesn't run out of compassion for his people. Verse 23, the Lord's compassions are new every morning. And I love that because there are days I feel I push God's patience to the limit. And whatever compassion he has for me, he's used it up. Now, maybe God doesn't feel that way, but I sure get the impression sometime that's the case. But even if that were true, it's okay, because tomorrow morning he has a whole new batch. He's got a whole new batch of compassion ready for us. So if you use up all of God's compassion for you, don't worry, he'll have more tomorrow. You can't run him out. You can't run him dry. It says, the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Sounds like a song we all know. Daniel 6, verse 26. Daniel 6, 26. Here's what Darius, who doesn't even believe in the true God, said. when he saw Daniel delivered from the lion's den. He said, I make a decree, Daniel 6:26, that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed in his dominion shall be even unto the end. So even he realized that the true God is steadfast or faithful forever. Because he just saw how God took care of Daniel. Isn't that something? Romans, here we go. Some more about being patient there, Jessica. Romans 12. I won't say anything corny like go roam around your Bible or go Philippian through the pages. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to you. I did? Did I? Okay. Okay. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation and mental pressure, continuing instant in prayer. And when it says patient in mental pressure and then continuing instant in prayer, that can also be translated as you see it in your notes to be steadfastly continuing in prayer, or faithful in prayer, to be persevering in prayer, or be constant in prayer. Because God is faithful. He'll stick to his word and he'll bring it to pass. Our challenge now is to be faithful to ask him for help. Be faithful to continue to pray. Be faithful to continue to focus on the word of God. That's our challenge. Because he'll be faithful to bring his word to pass when we believe it. We've got to work with our minds to be faithful to stick to it. Like the parable of the sower. It's easy to get all excited about the Word of God. It's a much bigger challenge to stay with it. And the parable of the sower, it was the concerns of this life that would often drag people away. When they'd heard the Word, then the cares of this world, the mental distractions, that's what dragged people away from the Word of God. So it's our challenge to not get mentally distracted, not get drawn away from the Word of God. And it's a challenge. Some days it's real easy to walk out the door whistling and speaking in tongues. Other days you're so distracted, it's all you can do to, you know, quote John 3:16 to yourself. It's a challenge, but we can do it. We can all do it. So, we are persevering in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will be faithful to preserve you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Have you noticed that? And it doesn't say they can pray that all these people go away or that they find a place to live where there are no wicked and unreasonable men. But it says pray that we be delivered from them. That God will just protect us from them. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's a great record. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he, what, abideth faithful. He can't deny himself. If we all decide, phooey, enough with this Bible and this Word of God stuff, I've had it, and just decide to forget God's Word, he still will be faithful to bring his Word to pass when somebody does believe. He's not going to say, I've had it with these guys. I want nothing to do with Christians anymore. I quit. No, he'll abide faithful. Can't get God to quit being faithful. You can't do it. You can ignore God and refuse to meditate on his Word, and he can't help you because you've chosen not to ask for his help. But then if the day after you decide to pray and ask for his help, he'll be there. You can't make him stop being faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is recounting some of the challenges he went through. At my first answer, or my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord still stood with him. Even though everybody else forsook him, God was there. That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Titus 1:9. Oh, same page for me. I just had to look across. Holding fast the what? Faithful word, as he hath been taught. That's the reason we can hold on to the faithful word, is because it is faithful. If you have a car that started every morning for the last 5 years, you want to keep that car. It's faithful. It gets you to work. If you have a car that hasn't started once in the last 5 years, you might want to think about fixing it or replacing it. But if it's one that's always worked, that's one you hold on to. Well, it's the faithful word. That's why we hold on to it. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, by whole teaching, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Hebrews 11:11. Actually, it's a much better translation here in the New Revised Standard Version in your notes. The problem with this verse is the Greek text is a little confused, and the King James follows some older or some later, not quite so clean Greek wording. But here in the New Revised Standard Version, it says, by faith he, referring to Abraham, received power of creation, procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Abraham heard God's promise. He believed it. They had a kid. 1 John 1. And verse 9, or verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. If we just say, Father, I'm sorry, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Sorry that's so complicated, but that's very clear. Now, mercy is another great thing that God is full of. So many people think God is full of wrath and condemnation, but mercy is wonderful. The word mercy is also translated steadfast love, loving kindness. People have often looked at grace as where God gives you something good you don't deserve. That's his divine favor. And mercy is where God withholds something bad you do deserve. You deserve a certain punishment, but God withholds that. Well, here it's simply this word loving kindness and some other words like compassion. Genesis 39. I don't know about you, but I still can't get over the record of Joseph, because he had so much against him, yet he faithfully walked with God and God blessed him. Whenever I find myself or others in situations where they're so mad at the circumstances, they can't see God in his word, try to tell them about Joseph. Because Joseph was in very bad circumstances that he did not deserve. He did nothing to deserve being a slave or being in jail. Yet, it says the Lord was with him and caused him to prosper. Because he must have kept looking to God. Because God could not have been with him and caused him to prosper if Joseph hadn't had his eyes on God. If he'd spent all his time being mad about it and being bitter and blaming others, God couldn't have done that for him. Genesis 39, verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But what? The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, steadfast love, loving kindness, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So if you're in a situation where it looks like nobody's going to give you a break, God will give you a break. So instead of being too panicked about everybody else not giving you a break, start asking the Lord to be the one to give you a break. Because nobody gave Joseph a break except God. And then when God gave him some breaks, things worked out for him. Great. Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Nehemiah 9. Verse 16. Nehemiah 9:16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly. This is looking back through some of the things the children of Israel did when they were going through the wilderness with Moses. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies, compassions, forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for thy thirst. His manifold, his many, his abundant mercies. Verse 24. So the children of Israel went in and possessed the land, and thou subduedst, that's a good word, subduedst, before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them in their hand with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat, a prosperous land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs. Can't you imagine that? Somebody gives them a Bible. Word of God. Cast it behind their backs. Didn't want to look at it. And slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, judges, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. So when they finally did turn back to God for help, he was right there. when they turned away from God, he couldn't help them. But the minute they came to him for help, he was right there. Page 7. Oh, there's more. Look at verse 28. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest there from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to what? Thy mercies. Verse 31, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Amazing. Psalm 25. And again, with all of these topics, there are more verses about God's mercy. I'm just reading you a few. But this topic is like so many. There are so many clear verses about God's goodness, but people read one or two, they don't understand, take it out of context. I want to say God's an old meanie. Not fair. There is none good but one, and that is God. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Psalm 25, in verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Isn't that great? Psalm 59. Psalm 59 and verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. We read another place that says I'm going to proclaim or declare God's loving kindness in the morning. Well, this is that word chesed, which again means loving kindness. He's going to sing aloud of his power. I mean, Monday morning, we're all going to have to get up and go do something, whether it's school or work or, you know, trimming your toenails. We're all going to have some responsibility. And you can either get up with great trepidation or great discouragement or with great excitement. What kind of great stuff is God going to do for me today? He loves me. His mercies don't fail me. He knows how to give me a better day better than I can. I don't even know what to ask for, but I'm going to pray perfectly by speaking in tongues. And it's going to be a great day. What a great thing. Verse 16 again, I will sing of thy power, I will sing aloud of thy mercy or loving kindness in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. In Lamentations here, we just read, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now again, in case you want to read one actually written to you, instead of those many, many that are for our learning, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we what? Faint not, but ever renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So who's blinding the minds of them which believe not? The godless world, the devil. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. But back in verse 1, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Because we receive mercy. See, if God pounded us over the head and banged us into the ground every time we had a bad thought or did something dumb, we wouldn't be around very long to help his people. He shows us a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. Because if he doesn't, we wouldn't last very long. And you know what? God wants his word to be heard more than you and I do.
We love people. We want people to believe God's word. But God wants it even more than we do. So he's going to work with us. He's going to help us. He's going to accept us the way we are and help us move forward. Great thing. Hebrews chapter 4. You're a tough crowd. I think you're going to make it through this class. No reason to give up now. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then, we probably read this before. We did. We'll just keep reading. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Because we have this high priest, we have Jesus Christ, who's now our access to God. We can go directly to God through what he did for us. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we can get beaten up for being such fools. No, that we may obtain mercy. God's loving kindness, his compassion, his keeping things we really deserve away from us, because Jesus Christ paid for our sins, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, his divine favor, where he gives us good stuff we didn't earn. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when everything's perfect. No, in time of need. See, the bigger the need you have, the more you go to God. And the great thing is, when we learn to go to God when there's not a big problem, that keeps most of the big problems away. But no matter how big or small the challenge is, we go to God. We obtain mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. And that mercy here, as you can see in your notes, is compassion, mercy, pity, clemency, where he just keeps away things, bad things we may deserve. And the great thing to remember is that God still loves us. All of God's goodness is summarized in his great love for his people. Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a great thing to remember. He sent his most precious thing he had, his son, to die for us, not when we were perfect, when we were sinners. And if he did that, he's certainly willing and able and desirous of helping us now. He didn't wait till we were perfect to send a Messiah, and he's not going to wait till we're perfect to answer our prayers. Because we're not going to be perfect until the trumpet sounds. And if he could send his only son to die for us, he can help you with your lunch money or whatever other challenge you may have this week. He's real good at it. He's very good at it. Romans 8, verse 38. For I'm persuaded, I'm convinced. What am I persuaded? Verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just nothing can separate us. You couldn't get God to quit loving you if you tried. You can ignore his love if you want, but you can't get him to quit loving you. It's not possible. It's not possible. And I love those Old Testament records. Not that I intend to go worship Baal or anything. But it talks about the book of Judges, even when they totally flaked out and went totally contrary to God's word, when they did come back to God, he was there ready to take care of them. And how much more for us as children. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his what? His little bit of love. No. He doesn't have just a little bit of mercy or a little bit of love. He's rich in mercy. Lots of it. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And one record to close here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what? The sons of God. And as some of you may know, in the earlier Greek manuscripts, it adds the phrase right here, and we are. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Because I don't know about you, but I've been called all kinds of things. We're not just called sons of God, we are sons of God. Verse 2, beloved, wait, I didn't finish verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Want a little clean living? Want to clean up your act? Want to be really pure? Focus on the return of the Lord. That's not a cop-out. That's a good thing to do. The Lord's coming back. And what a great day that'll be. We have a lot of wonderful things we can do in the meantime, but what we're really looking forward to is the Lord coming back. So it's been a fun day with you all in the Scriptures, looking at how good God is. We talked about how good He is, about how He loves us, about how He allows people to choose. We looked into some examples of the idiom of permission. We saw a few of the things God does to protect His people. We saw that with temptation, God did give Abraham a quiz, and a few times with the children of Israel in the wilderness, they got a quiz. And even during the time of the judges, they got some quizzes. But it was never any evil God brought upon them, but simply God waiting to see what they would do. Same thing with proving. We found out that God does not tempt people with evil, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Rather, his job is to deliver the godly out of temptation. And similar verses about proving. We saw that God was very faithful. He has huge amounts of mercy, and He loves us, maybe not because of ourselves, maybe in spite of ourselves, but He still loves us, because that's His nature, is to always love us and always be there to take care of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these wonderful believers and their wonderful leaders. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He accomplished for us. May we continue to grow in your word, grow in our understanding of it, our living of it, are speaking it to others, and just the joy of being able to walk with you day by day. And if your Son tarries, may we grow in your word and have the joy of believing you and walking with you day by day. And in his name we thank you and pray. Amen.